Welcome to this podcast from the CORE MD Consortium. That stands for Coordinating Research and Evidence for Medical Devices. And this is a Horizon 2020 project that is run by the European Society of Cardiology and the European Federation of Orthopaedics and Traumatology. My name is Alan Fraser, and I'm the scientific coordinator of this project. And we now have a series of podcasts to discuss with members of our consortium different aspects of the European regulatory system for medical devices. And on this podcast, I'm very pleased to welcome Richard Holborough, who is Global Head of Clinical Compliance for BSI, which is one of the largest notified bodies in the European regulatory system. So welcome, Richard.
Thank you for inviting me.
We're going to talk about the role of notified bodies, both within our consortium, but of course more widely within the European regulatory system. So let me ask you first about what the notified body actually is and what it does, because you're not regulators, but you have a very important regulatory function and you're sometimes called quasi-regulators. Perhaps you could explain in brief terms what the functions of the notified bodies are.
Yeah, I think what we are is an organization that is designated by competent authorities in Europe to act on their behalf in terms of designating medical devices under the regulation or the EU medical device regulation. So really our role is to kind of work with industry in the sense that they provide us with technical documentation. We perform what's called a conformity assessment to that regulation. And if approved, we then issue a certificate. So as you say, we're not regulators in the same sense as competent authorities, but we are there to ensure that the law is enforced.
So we could call you inspection companies. And in fact, that term is used internationally, I think. You are working on behalf of the national regulatory authorities and the European Commission, but nobody else does this task for medical devices in Europe, do they? It's completely done by notified bodies.
That's correct, yeah. I think some common terms used are conformity assessment bodies, but yeah, you're correct, that's right. In Europe, it is the role of the notified body to perform that.
And just to give us some idea, take your own organisation, BSI. How many employees approximately do you have working on doing conformity assessments for medical devices?
So we within BSI have a division called Regulatory Services that manages both medical devices and in vitro diagnostics. That's currently totaling around 1,100 people in total. Within that group, there are quality management assurance assessors that go out onto site to inspect manufacturers' premises. And then we have a proportion of technical reviewers that examine the technical documentations, usually with an engineering background, a clinical group, but also the administrative support as well in order to for the body to function and issue those.
And we should say that there are some other notified bodies that are virtually the same size as you or very similar in size to you. What I'm interested in particularly is within this large group of people that you've mentioned, how many would have scientific or clinical qualifications? How many would be medical doctors, for example, undertaking these reviews of devices from specialist medical fields?
So internally at BSI, we have around 15 medical professionals that let's say sign off on the review. We do have clinical evaluation specialists who perhaps have more of a science background. We also have over, I think it's currently about 40 external experts that we call upon. So if we have something like a niche device, for example, that maybe we don't have in-house competency, we will approach an external clinician, for example, in pediatric nephrology, for example, to try and assess.
I'm not sure if you'll want to answer this question, but under the old system of medical device directives, there was much less clinical expertise available to notified bodies, I believe, and particularly for the small notified bodies. Now, with the new requirements in the medical device regulation, there are quite strict qualifications for people to act as reviewers within notified bodies, is there not? And how does this apply for these scientific and clinical qualifications?
Yeah, no, that's very true. So under the directives, there was no legislative requirement for notified bodies to have clinical personnel. It kind of came about as bigger, larger notified bodies doing that in about 2016 with the introduction of the MedDev and the realization that clinical personnel need to be involved in conformity assessment. But under the new regulation, there is a legislative requirement in Annex 7 by the notified bodies or for the notified bodies to ensure that they employ clinical personnel.
So what many people may not appreciate is that the large notified bodies now have considerable clinical expertise within their review system. But there is an issue that you don't publicize this very widely. And part of that, I think, comes from the fact that notified bodies are independent commercial organizations. And also, when you have a contract with a manufacturer, you're not allowed to disclose any of your advice. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. We are private entities doing public sector work, essentially. And there is obviously business confidentiality and sensitivity clauses that means we can't discuss those reports outside of what is contracted between us and our clients, essentially. But yeah, you're right. The clinical experts that we employ can't speak specifically, but do, you know, we are trying as an organization of Team MB, trying to collaborate better in terms of having discussions and trying to give expectations to the wider population of manufacturers.
And we know that many people have concerns or qualms about the new regulatory system that may not be operating as well as the legislators had hoped, perhaps with some unforeseen circumstances. But one of the frequent comments that people make is that the system is to some extent unpredictable because clinical evaluators in one notified body may have different opinions about what is sufficient evidence compared with their counterparts in another notified body. And that's where I'd like to ask you about CoreMD, because the project that we have is a coordination and support action within the European Research Framework, which means that I think for perhaps the first time, and I'd be interested in your views, we have had the opportunity to build a network where regulators from national agencies, expert clinicians from medical scientific associations, colleagues from notified bodies, and from public health institutes and patients have all been working together. What has been your experience of this? And is this really something new? And how can we build in the future on making the opinions of clinical experts within notified bodies more similar and more publicly aware, available?
Yeah, I think to answer your first part, this CoreMD has been a fantastic initiative to allow to collaborate on providing the community or scientific community of CoreMD the evidence that we see and the problems that we see in regulatory assessments to your group. But also, I think the interaction itself between notified bodies has actually been helped by CoreMD because of the drive of saying, well, what are your expectations and what are our expectations to try and get better alignment? And the only way that comes about is through communication. The second part of your question in terms of how do we get better and improve on that? I think really it is again about trying to sort of explore those opportunities where we can get alignment and work with the medical societies that are involved with CoreMD to say, well, what is state of the art? That is such a big question for notified bodies. When we do conformity assessment, we need to prove that a medical device is better than or equal to what exists on the market. And the only way we can answer that is by scientific evidence and by the support of medical communities to say that these devices are needed, these devices perform well, these devices are safe. And when we have that information and that commitment and that transparency on both parties of what the expectations are and what can be delivered, then that improves the communication between ourselves and the wider community.
I know that the manufacturers of a new device need to prove this equivalence or improvement on so-called state of the art. And there are some definitions, but they're rather vague, aren't they?
They are, yeah. So there is state of the art itself, for example, is not defined in the regulation, but we have to look outside of that. And there are guidance documents produced by the EU Commission that point to some, for example, the International Medical Device
Regulator. And do you currently look at professional clinical practice guidelines produced by medical associations when you're considering whether or not a manufacturer has met state of the art in their application?
Yeah, and I think some of that comes down to the clinical experts we involve. Many of them are practicing clinicians, for example, who'll be aware of national guidance, international guidance on what is the common method for the treatment of this particular condition. So they have that awareness. I think what we always have to remember is the conformity assessment really is the manufacturer proving they meet the requirements, and we have to validate that and say yes. So we rely on our clinical expertise. And one of the key parts of the new regulation is, in fact, that notified bodies have to demonstrate they are state of the art, that they are keeping up to date with the new information that's coming through on certain types of devices, risks, etc.
So the European system, as I see it, may not be ideal the way it's structured, but we have to live with it currently, at least until the next review, which will be starting soon, and the report of the Commission to Parliament, which is planned for 2027 or 2028. Until then, there won't be any major reform, and even after that, it may be difficult. But do you see much prospect for change in future with more transparency, with some way whereby the notified body clinical experts collectively could give advice to manufacturers?
Yeah, I think that's something, you know, to come back to your first point, the medical device regulation, I think, is working. I think what it's doing is it's driving evidence-based medicine, which we haven't done historically in Europe. And I think it's doing a good job. It's just having teething issues. In response to the second part of that, I think the transparency of notified bodies needs to be improved. And I think that's a fair point. And how we do that is, again, through communication, through being able to be clear and working with yourselves and other medical bodies and medical societies to really drive patient safety for medical devices and performance. And again, communication will come with transparency of what the expectations are on both sides, and to try and drive that. And I think that would help the regulatory system.
So thank you very much for this discussion. And I think we can conclude that there are plenty of targets and initiatives that we still need to follow, and that if we can do this collectively between scientific medical associations and regulators and notified bodies, it will be to the benefit of all of us, will it not?
Correct. I would completely agree with that.
Thank you very much. Thank you.